Blog Talk Radio.
So welcome to another edition of HR Diversity. I, of course, am your host, Ms. Torin Ellis, and today's guest is Ms. Dina Perot, the founder of Mosaic Blueprint and iUrban Team Tech out of the Washington area. It's an organization focused on introducing middle schoolers and high school age African-American and Latino males to art, tech tours, mentorship, and job shadowing opportunities, and she was recently honored as a White House Champion of Change, and I think she's made a couple of trips to the White House. So welcome to the show today, Dina. How are you?
I am doing just fine, Torin. Thank you for having me with you today.
Oh, it's definitely my pleasure. And so what I want is for you to kind of fill in the gaps. I know who you are, but I want the listeners to learn a bit more about you. And so I may not have covered everything in the introduction. What else would you like them to know about you?
Oh, my gosh, Torin, it's so much. I'm starting to forget about who I am now because it's so much. But I am truly what they call a social entrepreneur. Everything that I do, every touch point, is something that has a positive effect for the community. And even though I do a lot of things, I have a lot of programs, I have all these companies, they're all centered around diversity, inclusion, and equity. One of the other things I've done besides the Mosaic Blueprint and iUrban Teen, I have a group that every year we have an urban summit, and it is for multicultural business owners to try to segue opportunities for them to acquire business. I have another thing that I started here in Vancouver is our annual Dr. Martin Luther King breakfast celebration, and we're going in our fifth year. And it's now become a staple of the community. We have all of our elected officials attend. And we were actually honored last year by having Congressman John Lewis attend. And that was truly special.
I remember when you put the pictures up about the event from last year. And I'm certain that it's going to be even equally as powerful this particular year. You mentioned something about multicultural businesses, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. Again, mm-hmm. knowing that we only have 15 minutes, it goes by quickly, but I do want to ask you about something that I think that you are doing around multicultural businesses. But today we're going to start with the young people because they're extremely important to both you okay. and to I. That's actually one of the synergies that you and I share.
Yes.
And I noticed somewhere that you said, I believe it's Tagore's philosophy that you cannot cross the sea merely by staring at the water. Thought that that was a really
Correct.
Powerful quote. And why do you believe that your work is important? And what do the youth say about iUrban Teen?
Well, first I will say that I don't believe that our work is important. I know it's important. There's a difference
Wonderful.
Between believing it and knowing it. I know it's important. Some of the things that I, again, I go back to both organizations and creating opportunities. Some of the things that I know that the kids say about the program, they say things like, oh, this was fun. I really enjoyed myself. Thank you so much. Those are the things that they're saying. Action to me speaks so much louder than words. It's what I'm seeing that these kids are doing. I'm seeing them enjoying themselves. I'm seeing them feeling valued. I'm seeing them becoming a part of a machine. They're a part of this program, and I make them a part of it, along with their parents, with the families. So it's the nonverbal things that I'm seeing, you know, with these kids. That's why I know this is important work.
So what prevents them from taking part in the types of activities and the learning tracks that you encourage, especially since you know and you are seeing that it's important? What holds them back? Is it a lack of access? Is it transportation? Is it locality? What is it?
I think that for our program, we have no barriers. we provide free activities. So there's no money that we're asking for the families to, you know, to pay, to participate. And I wanted to make sure we always keep it that way. We even sometimes can provide transportation. We can do carpooling. So for our activities, it's very easy for them to participate. My only issue is what we're doing with iUrban Teen is something that a lot of the schools aren't doing or can't do, that I wish that there was a better connect there with those barriers. I'm not sure, quite sure what the barriers are in school. Well, we're showing them what I mean and what I'm feeling is we're providing such cutting edge information. We have a lot of businesses involved with our program. Again, we have our events usually on a university campus. However, I have local business community members, folks come in and teach them the latest business trends, what's going out there in the real world. That's something that a lot of schools don't offer. Plus, especially with our brown and black boys, we make them feel so valued. We make them feel and know that they can do anything. A lot of times they're going into the school systems where they're meant to feel invisible. We don't do that, you know, and I think there's where that divide is and some of that barriers is I think a lot of schools don't show them all the infinite possibilities. We show them all the possibilities. Crazy or not, they're right there for you, and we help segue them into those possibilities. So I think that's what makes us a little bit different.
And so knowing that the lay listener will hear this episode, and they may not be in your area, they may not be near a site where you are hosting one of your events, what might you give them in terms of one or two quick points, knowing that some of the schools, many of the schools, are not doing some of the things you're doing? What would you share with the listener?
I would share with the listeners, with the parents, with the guardians, with the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the sisters, the older brothers, look into your community and see what's available. What is that extracurricular activity? What is that community event that can give them some exposure to some of these opportunities, to anything? I believe in a 24/7 learning experience. So everything, and people start thinking that way, everything that you do or everything that you can be a learning opportunity for others. So consistently look for those opportunities of learning, making them feel included. Now, you said that we're not in their city, but, you know, pretty soon we will be. We're expanding to a national model, which I'm excited about, and we're doing that because of the parents and the kids that are emailing us saying, can you come to our city?
So, you know, naturally we're going to have you back so that you can talk about that expansion when it begins to roll out. I want to quickly switch gears to the multicultural businesses that you are doing some wonderful things for. And I found in a quote back in 2010, you felt like economic development was a civil rights issue. It may still feel that way to you. And I quote, mm-hmm. You said, when you think of it, it all goes hand in hand. Economic development, community health, civil rights. We have to be engaged. We have to support our multicultural business owners. And we as multicultural business owners need to support each other more collaboratively instead of being divided. Do you feel like that is part of the challenge we have in marginalized communities still today?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's still that way. We have such a lack of access to capital. We have such a lack of the networks that we need to be successful. So I say that this isn't impossible for us to do. Look at Torin, look at you and I. You and I have been in doing this stuff for a long time, and we keep going no matter what. You know, we keep building those relationships. We keep supporting each other. Just think if all of us were doing that. Think of all of us were supporting each other's work.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, again, that support goes a long way. It's funny because I didn't totally forget that you and I were doing the interview today, but my social media post first thing this morning was all about collaboration. And then when I just read that quote of you from back in 2010, it just goes to show that a lot of what we need to do in business, it really doesn't change. Maybe some of the technologies and processes change, but the foundation of what we do in business, it doesn't change, right?
It doesn't change. And it's a lot of it is about relationships. Now, I'm of this belief, and I know you are as well. I will never cut off the ladder behind me. Yes, I've had national honors. I've been in magazines. I've been in all this stuff. But I will always try to create an avenue of opportunity and information share for other businesses of color. I don't want to say minority businesses because I never like that word, minority business. I always will try to make some kind of segue or make some kind of connection for my other colleagues that are trying to start their businesses. You know, I will never cut off that ladder.
So when you talk about the lack of access to capital, that was the first thing you mentioned. I actually mentioned technology and processes. Are you hearing from those in your community, the businesses, the organizations that you support through your various endeavors? Is that something that they are able to address? Is that something that they are also hearing? Maybe share with us what it's like, the voice of the West Coast, if you will, with me being here in the East.
Regarding lack of technology access?
Lack of technology access,
capital.
Be capital or some other mechanism to doing good business.
Well, I would say let's start with the technology piece first. And that's one reason why I even pushed forward with iUrban Teen, because you don't see here on the West Coast, you don't see a whole lot of folks that look like you and I in that whole tech startup space, or even having the access to even free technology that can be used to help their businesses. So that's something that's missing that we're trying to put a dent in. We're trying to bridge that divide there with that technology piece. In fact, some of the things I was thinking about for the youth and iUrban Teen, because we're teaching them how to code. We're teaching them how to do all these behind-the-scenes technology things, is once they get up to speed, actually having them help some of our smaller businesses with some of their tech needs, you know, and giving back that way. So that's one problem is the access, the lack of access to technology, even understanding how to use social media. But now the lack of the access to capital, that is still prevalent. It is still harder for us to get that capital. It is even for venture capital, it's difficult because we're just, you know, they don't consider us to be a viable player at the table.
So we know some folks that are doing some really good work in that particular space. I know they're trying to continue to knock on the bricks of those walls. I have Angela Benton out west. We have Tristan Walker doing his thing out west. And we got
Palo Alto.
Code 2040, I think it is. So there certainly are some folks that are doing it, but it is going to take the effort of all of us. It's a monumental effort to continue to push it. And that's the reason why we have HR Diversity Radio and my focus on diversity. It's not about excluding others. It's about making sure that we are included. But you mentioned social media. One thing that I saw is that your Instagram profile, you haven't taken the time to put up any posts, but you are very active on social media. So talk to us quickly, if you would. Maybe one or two events that are coming up where you plan to have fun, deliver some good work in Q1 of this year.
Well, you know what, and you mentioned Instagram. I'm so bad. I totally forgot about Instagram. And I was just telling some of our folks, because, you know, we've got this machine that is growing so rapidly. In fact, it's like I'm building the plane while it's flying super fast. I actually need help with my social media stuff. And so I was just talking about that last night, getting someone up to speed to help me with some of these things that we have. But some of the upcoming things, you know, we've done a lot of things. In fact, the month of January is really crazy busy. But in March, we are starting a new project that I just created in partnership with Oregon Public Broadcasting, and which is an NPR affiliate, and the University of Portland. It's a GIS mapping and big data project. So our kids will be working in teams learning how to use GIS mapping principles and also how to analyze data. And how do you tell a creative story with those two elements? That's going to be a six-week-long project on Saturday starting in March. And everything we do here, every program that we do here, we eventually roll it out to the other cities that we have an iUrban Teen presence.
I love that. The mapping project, storyboarding, if you will, leveraging technology. My hope is that you and the team will be able to record that and maybe share such on your website. Listeners,
we're going to put it on Instagram.
There you go. We're going to put it on Instagram. So what we had today to all of those that are listening was Ms. Dina Perot, the founder of Mosaic Blueprint and iUrban Teen Tech. She has been recognized by the White House, been in Ebony Magazine, Essence Magazine, Black Enterprise, Deliver Magazine. She's been in the Chicago Tribune, NPR, and all over the place. You can find her on Twitter at Dina, D-E-E-N-A, DenapieRott.com. Thank you so much, Dina.
Torrin, thank you. Enjoy your week.
Absolutely.